Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Sports update. Update from One Bills Drive. The practice day is over for the Buffalo Bills. They worked inside the stadium here at New Era Field today, and the injury report is out. Running back Devin Singletary, the rookie, will not play this game. He's officially out, missing all week of practice with his hamstring injury. Cornerback Taron Johnson misses another game. He's also listed as out with his hamstring. Tight end Tyler Croft, who came back and had a full day of practice Wednesday, hurt his ankle yesterday. He is listed as out also. He did not practice today. Andre Roberts, Bills receiver and return specialist, he got in a full day of practice today after being limited all week. And Roberts is expected to be the Bills return specialist on Sunday against the Cincinnati Bengals. 1 o'clock kickoff here at New Era Field. I've got the play-by-play. Eric Wood with the color. Sal Capaccio on the sidelines, all here on our flagship station in Buffalo, WGR Sports Radio 550. Jacksonville Jaguars may be ready to make Jalen Ramsey the highest-paid cornerback in the NFL. It was assumed he'd be traded, maybe even as soon as today. But Jacksonville may make a good offer. Owner Shad Khan, fresh off the high of last night's win in his home stadium, with Minshew Mania leading the way, he's going to step in and demand that his team hang on to Jalen Ramsey, who has requested a trade. Philadelphia Eagles going to week three without their top deep threat offensively. Coach Doug Peterson announced this morning that DeSean Jackson will miss Sunday's game against the Lions. He's got a groin injury. UB Bulls home tomorrow. Back home, the Bulls with 1-2 host Temple. 2-0 Temple tomorrow, 3:30 p.m. at UB Stadium. UB leads the all-time series with Temple 13-4, and the Bulls have won 8 of their last 9 games played at UB Stadium. They're the number one team in the Mid-American Conference in rushing, averaging 225 yards on the ground. UB Temple, 3:30 tomorrow at UB Stadium. And the Sabres go back-to-back with the Toronto Maple Leafs this weekend. Tonight, 7 o'clock, Scotiabank Arena in Toronto. It's the Sabres and the Leafs, and then Buffalo plays the Leafs again tomorrow night, KeyBank Center at 7 o'clock. And that is the update, the sports update from One Bills Drive. Coming to you on Fridays, the lowdown with Lorenzo Alexander. Bills veteran linebacker Lorenzo Alexander joins us in studio. He is here right now. Welcome, Lorenzo. How are you?
I'm doing good. How you doing?
Doing well. I'm doing real well.
Great. Yeah, feeling good. Good week of practice. Feeling fresh, you know, and that's extra special for me, you know, being my age and stuff, just to be able to feel fresh and feel ready to go without having any nicks or anything that I'm kind of doctoring right now, nursing.
Injuries aside, and that's always a factor, but have you found in the last couple of years of your extensive, lengthy NFL career that there's a point in the season when you think, whew, is it midseason? Is it 12 games in? Is it 4 games in? Do you get to a point where you're like, man, this is a drag. This is a long time.
I think a lot of that's predicated on whether or not you are in the hunt for the playoffs.
Gotcha.
For me, and I think that's been out through my entirety of my career. When you feel like you're playing for something at the end, it's easier to get up, even though your body's sore or whatnot, because you still have hope and you have ambitions to play in the postseason. Now, if you're playing the season, you know, you may be, I don't know, 5 and whatever, and it's not looking bright. Or you may be already eliminated. Those last, you know, 4 or 5 weeks can be a little bit of a drain because now you're just playing to get through the season healthy and obviously play hard and well and try to win games. But you know the ultimate goal is kind of out of the picture.
One of the things I want to ask you about is, you know, it's only 2 games. Murph and I have been having this conversation.
Yeah.
It's only 2 games.
Right.
Looks pretty good. You have yet to beat a team that has to win a game, that has yet to win a game. But you play who's in front of you and you play pretty well in both of those games, particularly the comeback win against Jets. And last week, not a spectacular win, but man, what a win that where it looked like you were in control the whole way, both sides of the road.
Yeah, I mean, I would feel great about it. I mean, obviously it is early in the season. It's hard to win in this league. And so anytime you're able to come out with a victory, no matter who it is, you're happy. I think with that, and this is kind of with the lowdown later on, you always have to keep a sense of a calmness about what you're doing and who you are. Because you want to continually be able to get better throughout the season and not just get overly confident on a few early wins in the season.
Lorenzo Alexander with us. I noticed this about your team, Lorenzo, and of course, two games in, you learn a little bit more every week, but you know, comeback win against the Jets and a pretty convincing win against the Giants, and yet in your locker room, after each of those wins, things are kind of businesslike, and you've got a younger team that might, you know, be giddy, but I don't see any of that at all.
No, not at all, and I think a lot of that is great messaging by Sean and what he delivers to us every day in team meetings as far as just having that growth mindset, being process-oriented and not really worried about the result, because you can win games in this league and still play bad, and if you're not playing a team that's up to par, that's really good, and get away with some mistakes. And so he's done a great job of pointing out those things where we haven't played up to the standard that we've set, where we can continue to get better, because if you just worry about winning games sometimes, those details and fundamentals that can end up costing you some games when you play against a really good team. Can come back to haunt you. So I think he's done a great job. And then the leadership has backed that up with the way we practice, the way we are still paying attention to detail in meetings from our veteran leadership.
I asked this question in the locker room Sunday. I may have asked you. I asked Harrison Phillips on our show. Final time I'm going to ask this question. I promise. Right. Giants go 75 yards. Barkley gets 55 yards on that first series, and then you had him shut down after that. Did anything change defensively? Anything schematically?
Yeah, we changed a little bit, and I think that was one of my things I said about the first week in the Jets game moving forward. You know, obviously players want to continue to get better every week, but coaches want to do that as well. And, I credit to our coaching staff as far as making the adjustments that we needed to after that first series. We were in a lot of man concepts. And what they like to do is crack guys and put the running back onto the corners. And we had some guys out of our gap. Then we switched to a more of a zone concept. And so guys were able to play more with vision, play more downhill. And I think that kind of upset their running game a little bit. And then once the offense scored some touchdowns, they were able to take Saquon out of the game.
Well, what about this week? You turn your sights forward towards the Cincinnati Bengals. Yeah. You kind of turn the page. What do you see in this offense? Obviously, they've thrown the football more than anybody else. So they've been behind a little bit.
Right. I mean, I think that's probably the biggest thing. They do like to throw the ball around a lot. I mean, obviously, Andy Dalton is a really good quarterback in this league. He's very streaky, and if you allow him to get on a roll, he can pick you apart. Their offense relies on a lot of, chunk yardage. You know, when you think about Ross, who they have on the outside, Boyd, who they have on the outside, guys that can stretch the defense. Tyler Eifert, who is – probably not as good as he once was, but still a really good guy just because he's been dealing with some injuries. Still very sure-handed, able to move the sticks. And then Joe Mixon as well, playing the running back role. And so those are guys that we really have to be aware of where they're at. Conscious of formations, because that tells us a lot. And they like to play action, go deep. And so we have to make sure, you know, Mike and them guys on the back end always do a great job of playing top down.
What's going on with Joe Mixon? He's averaging like 1.6, 1.8 yards per carry. Led the conference in rushing last year. What's the problem there, do you think?
I think it's just getting down. Well, they were in the Seattle game, but last week versus the 49ers, that game got out of hand, right. So they had to throw the ball a lot more. Some of it may be because their offensive line is a little banged up. You know, when you don't have continuity up front, that can hurt the running game. Obviously, the running back and quarterback always get all the credit, but if your O-line is not quite clicking quite yet, it's hard to create those gaps and openings and obviously that time to throw the ball. And so he's struggling a little bit, but I know he is a grinder. He's actually from the Bay Area, from where I'm from, so I know what type of heart mentality he has. And the minute you allow or underestimate a guy like that, that's when they run all over you.
What is that? What's the heart mentality of a Bay Area guy?
Well, you know, kind of like that Marshawn Lynch. When you think about guys that's from the Bay Area, myself, you know, we just cut from that old school cloth. You know, it's Oakland. I mean, it's the inner city. You have the inner city mentality. You've been a fighter all your life trying to get out, and you kind of carry that onto the field with you. And just the way you play the game of football. And those guys run like that. They run angry, run tough, especially between the tackles.
I'm not laughing about it. I just never heard that before. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I got you. I'm not laughing. I promise I'm not laughing. I respect the Bay Area.
No, you're fine. Yeah.
I like the Bay Area. The big targets outside, and they made big plays. I think they're second in passing yardage. And you mentioned it. Andy Dalton is a capable quarterback, right? You don't need to make a ton of big throws outside, but a couple will make a difference in this game.
Yeah, and I mean, if you watch the film, they've made some big throws, some big chunk yardage. And, you know, he doesn't, you know, he's not, you know, people don't probably consider him elite, but I've played against him a couple of times now, and he's very good at what he does, you know, just mobile enough to get out the way and extend some plays and has the arm and I think that football IQ to extend plays and get the ball down the field.
Lorenzo Alexander, our guest with the lowdown. Steve Tasker is with us as well. One more thing before we get to the lowdown. Playing at home. It's been back-to-back on the road, obviously, to start this season. Not great long road trips, but road games nonetheless. What does it mean for this team, your team, to play at home this Sunday?
It's huge. Obviously, we got a little bit of taste of what Bills Mafia is capable of, you know, down in New York. I'm pretty sure you even heard it, you know, sitting up in the booth.
Yeah.
Just how loud they were in New York City. So now to have Bills Mafia in its entirety back here at home, I know the place is going to be rocking. I mean, I was driving over here yesterday evening, and the RV lot, you know, with that Bills Mafia house, as you kind of come into this facility, was already starting to fill up. So I know it's going to be a great environment. A lot of partying, tailgating, a lot of broken tables out there, but I know they're going to bring that energy inside, and we're going to feed off of that. And so we'll be able to come out and keep that going, but I know they're going to be loud and help us out as much as they can.
I've asked this to a couple of guys, and it's the same kind of question, and I know the answer. But do you have to give the first-year guys like Ed Oliver and Cody Ford and if Devin Singletary was active, all the young guys, you tell them, hey, listen, like, don't go off the rails because it's so nuts. You know what I'm saying? You got to stay disciplined and stay in the moment, but it's hard not to get caught up in that.
Yeah, especially with all that energy and juice. And so you talk to them a little bit about it. They've experienced it. The good thing is it's not their first game, and so they've had a couple of games to get their feet wet and really get a sense of who they are as a football player. And so it won't be as overwhelming as if this was, you know, the first game of the season and opening at home.
All the places you've played, where does this place rank as far as a home field? And not just the fans or the atmosphere, but the whole setup, you know, the field itself, the locker rooms. How does this place measure up? You played in a lot of places.
Yeah, I would say this place is number one with the overall environment and culture that has been set. Obviously with the Raiders, that was only for 1 year, but I think the intimacy between the community and the organization is a lot more tight-knit than anywhere I've ever been. And so that's what set this place apart from every other organization.
You know, and you don't want to talk badly about places, but I will. I can't stand Washington. I can't stand FedEx. I don't like the building. I don't like the atmosphere. There's nothing about that place. I hate the radio booth. You can't see.
I'm not going to disagree with you. I love the fans up there. You know, I've had a great time with there. But yeah, I mean, some of those things that you talk about does make it hard.
It is a tough spot in history for Washington. They've gone through some rough spots. The stadium is – there's an issue with the owner wanting a new stadium in that city. They just had this stadium built. It's not that old. And he's letting it go.
Mm-hmm.
And so the atmosphere is getting worse. The fans are getting more disgruntled. And, you know, it used to be you couldn't get a ticket to the Redskins. Now that's not the case.
A lot of that's about winning. I mean, it's just not a good time for the organization. So. Right. You know, I know a lot of people still over there, and so, you know, it's hard to see it, and especially the fans that I know that I'm real tight with. And so, you know, I think every organization goes through ebbs and flows for the most part throughout the entirety. I mean, the NFL has been around for 100 years.
All right. Lorenzo,
always a great time.
Lorenzo's on Friday with us with the lowdown, his keys to how the Bills get out of here with a victory on Sunday. Let's start. And I'm curious about your first one listed here. Your number one lowdown, your number one key, reestablish who we are. What does that mean?
Yeah, and I think we kind of talked about that. You know, we're 0-2. There's all this national attention now that we're getting, you know, as far as, maybe the Bills are better than what we thought. And so with that, sometimes you can kind of just get lackluster or not lackluster, relaxed in just your preparation. And so we've been reestablishing who we are since Wednesday when we got back in the building.
Right.
Just really reaffirming who we are, and then we need to carry that into the game.
So you're really talking about what's, you know, the preparation mindset during the week.
Yeah, everything, all that. Because, you know, people talk about failing, and obviously we'd rather be 2-0 than 0-2. But I think success is more of an obstacle in a lot of times, especially when you have a young team, than failing, because you have a hunger. I want to get some wins. When you win, we good, everything is going fine, and you don't really worry about how do I grow week to week. And what I've been telling a lot of young guys, the more games we play, the more film study and the more of a book the opposing, you know, players, scouts are going to have on you. They're going to know how to attack you. So you want to grow as this process goes on, as we win more and more, and not just relax in what you've been doing.
Now, the second low down is obviously kind of self-explanatory. Get off to a fast start.
Yeah, we haven't done that in either of the games. The offense, obviously, the first week we had four turnovers. And last week, Saquon and that offense just kind of ripped through us really quick. And so instead of playing from behind, it'd be great just to come out to a fast start, jump on Cincinnati, and be able to maintain that energy throughout the game.
You ever seen this much manipulation?
No, it's actually pretty impressive, and I, you know, I'm trying to keep my focus here, so I've never really been around.
You got one bad mic.
But you guys are you're working it. I think if I was sitting at home, I would have no clue.
Right.
Well,
so that's the
if
idea.
You're sitting maybe here,
that's
you might
maybe that's why you let me do all the talking today.
Yeah, we can take a walk now.
Right. So here's what, for those of you who aren't watching on MSG, Murph and I had to switch mics. Murph was using another mic. My mic quit working, which is, they tell me is an accident. It might have been purposely. But
I've been asking for it.
Right, right. So we're sitting around here. We got people around the desk trying to fix the wiring of the mic. So we're all set now. I've got Murph's mic. Murph's got an extra mic, and you're all set. You got your – okay.
Yeah.
All right, so the last lowdown, number three, don't give up any explosive plays. This one obviously kind of does speak for itself, but also right. because you're playing the Bengals, who they've kind of relied on that.
Yeah, and that's what's really going to get them started. I don't think they really want to be able to nickel and dime us. That's not who they are. They want to be able to take big chunk plays. And when they get those big chunk plays, they line right back on the ball again and try to get you right back and while you're down. And so we don't want to give them any life. And anytime you give up explosions with the type of guys that they have at receiver, that really shifts the momentum and energy in their favor.
Lorenzo, five passes knocked down by defensive linemen last Sunday against the Giants. I think seven through the first two games. What's going on there? That is a good thing, right?
It's a great thing. I mean, yeah. Obviously you like to get to them, but quarterbacks, they understand that they need to get the ball out of their hands. I think we have a very good rush group, and if you hold on to it too long, that we'll be able to get you down. But I think we have a great awareness of, you know, when it's third, 2-6, understanding that I'm not going to be able to run the hoop or do this fancy move because most quarterbacks are getting the ball out of their hands pretty quick. And so I may rush, you know, bang a guy, knock him back, and then I'm looking to get my hands up because these balls are coming out low because they're trying to run all these pick and mesh routes, trying to knock off guys. And a lot of times that gives us a chance to knock the ball down. And you saw last week Ed did it, and we got a big play from Trent getting an interception.
All right, Lorenzo Alexander, we got a special guest for you, Lorenzo, and he is standing by, and a guy you've had some encounters with. Take a look at this. Listen to this.
Some people feel like we don't have a good relationship.
No, that's why we can talk to each other like this.
Right, exactly. Work through it.
Yeah.
You know,
we wouldn't go allow him to be soft. You know, Donald's naturally soft-minded.
Here we go.
It takes a village to raise people, right?
I mean, that's yeah, and you're soft. Minded.
What?
God, it's so short-sighted, man. It's all about me when you're talking about receivers, man.
Really?
It is. Me. You know, just let me know when you want me to come in and take over him.
Because
I would never do that to you. He's leading by example. He's not just words.
Yeah, all right. You know, I was blocking.
It didn't sound like it.
No. I was blocking. I was using a lot of blocking, matter of fact.
When I asked you, you was like, yeah, I don't want to block. Make it
I didn't say I don't want to block.
Dude, when things go well, it's me. It's me. When something bad happens, you know what? It was Freddie ran up my leg twice, same play, same ankle. So that's why I don't block. Yeah, or they could just throw the ball and go 90 yards. So when you say stuff like that, that means you didn't block. That's the type of guy you are, huh?
That is the type of guy I am.
Come
that's
on,
right.
You got to rise above that, man. Got it on here. I got exos, baby. I'm going to look you up. And then I'll come here with a full report on DJ. Because right now you just talk a lot of stuff, and nobody can look you up. I say something, people going to go look me up and say, look at you, trash, or something, you know? I just want to let you know I love you. I brought you a nice wing hat. You know, I told you my guy took care of me.
Thank
so Merry Christmas.
Wow. But look, you thank know? You for the
and,
Christmas
you know,
gift.
Yeah.
Thank you for the
Christmas. Yeah, so I'm hooking you up. You know, it's Christmas time, so we're not going to argue today. We're going to show the people what it's all about, okay?
I love happy endings like that. Lorenzo and Donald Jones, former co-host on the show here, they used to go at it on a regular basis on Friday. And DJ is back, Donald Jones, live with us in the At Pro Sports Training Center. Looked like he's ready to go, too. He is here to go to war with Lorenzo Alexander. Donald Jones, former Bills wide receiver, former co-host of the show, making his way to the studio right now.
The champ is here.
The champ is in the house. Come on in here. Donald Jones, welcome. Welcome back, Donald Jones.
They call that the champ. Man, I was killing him in those clips.
You were. Yeah,
Where's the Wakanda sweatshirt?
Yeah, right?
Where's that? Sure. Where's that at?
You, man.
How are you, man?
Yeah, good man. You know, the sweater used to wet rock.
Oh,
okay.
Well, you've noticed we've kept
it's still warm now.
A lot of distance. They did listen to me, though. We did replace you. So we got Steve in here.
Yeah, we got my man Steve.
That was great.
What happened with you two? And you see, we've separated you with me and Steve. What was it about you two that you didn't get along?
We got along. That was the way we show our love, you know. In our community, that's how we show our love.
That is a locker room thing.
Yeah.
That is a locker room thing. Right? Yeah, no question about it.
I don't know. Him and I, you know, we had like a special bond or something like that.
Yeah, it really came across.
I don't go too far.
Best of the days when it was just me and I on the show. Oh, man, it was like all day.
Some of that was here to referee.
Let me ask you guys. We had a big thing about... And it's been since this team has taken shape this year, and you're a former player, I'm a former player, you're a current player. Explain culture. Explain how it is that how much a difference it makes when you got guys that, you know, you can talk to each other like that or like you do in a locker room. How does that translate onto the field, and why does it make a difference for really good teams who have a culture and teams that aren't successful who don't?
I mean, I've always felt that. The teams that obviously you need to have talent on a team, right, to win games. But you have to come together because when you start way back in August or even back in April, May, whenever they start, I don't even know when you guys start now. You're with the same guys every day from the morning till the evening. And so you have to come together or you just in the building with some dude that I don't like. And who wants to do that, right? So you come together as a brother. The person next to you in the locker, you fly together, you do every single thing with these same guys that you see every single day. You have to come together, you have to gel. You're going to go through a lot of ups, a lot of downs. You have guys that have families, they're going through personal stuff with their families, and you're sitting right there next to them, and you're like, yo, what's up? You need to talk about it, something like that. So all of that stuff comes into play. It's nothing, I don't think there's any other job like it.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that as well. It's all about that camaraderie. And if you're from a family, a big family, you just know how your brothers and sisters and how you get along. You always ragging on each other. And it's just part of how we share our love. It's kind of funny, actually, that you were even talking about this, because last night we were at Bible study and my wife was sharing a story about why she loves me. She's like, yeah, I just love Lorenzo because he never wants to make fun or call people names. And then everybody else in the room, it was like Levi, Taryn, Mike Love, all the young guys just started,
let me tell
what?
You a story about your husband.
What?
Right. I'll tell you, though, guys have
Yeah.
In a married relationship, when and Murph, you're even a veteran at this. So, yeah. You it's something to – men have a hard time communicating,
you know,
the deep stuff, right? You have a hard time with that. But when you're in a locker room where you know they know you, I mean, you know, and they still like you, that gets very empowering for a guy, right? It's to have them know you're not all of this and you're not all of that. Come on, bro, I know you better than, you know, they know you, the front you put on for the media. And, but to still have that, to be able to do that in a locker room, have them know you, but then still be accepted is a really empowering atmosphere, right?
And I love it. Go ahead.
I think one of the things that you have to really watch for on every team, and I don't think you have this on this team, you can tell by when you watch it on game day, you got to watch for clicks throughout a team.
Oh, yeah.
We had that when I was here. You had the linemen, they just, and you're going to naturally get that anyway, but you don't want it to be where everybody's secluded from each other.
Right.
You know, you need for everybody to still be able to come together and go out and do things together.
And
when I was here, we did truly have clicks on a team where the defensive guys, they just hung with the defensive guys. You might not even like those guys over there, you know, on that side of the locker room or whatever the case may have been, and you can't have that in order to win. And I don't think this team has.
And that's great. And I think that's why our locker.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Room is set up the way it is, because normally when you go to most locker rooms, it's kind of offense, defense, kind of, and you kind of clicked up, or with
line,
linebackers,
positional groups,
I mean, I sit next to a running back, a receiver, and a lineman. I don't even have any defensive guys around me. And so you kind of get to know those guys when you're sitting at your locker, which is really cool. And so, yeah, you have your clicks, but, I mean, I'm talking to Mitch, I'm talking to Tremaine, and then I'll go talk to Harrison Phillips. I mean, just so many different groups of people that you kind of interact with throughout the day, and you see that with other people just kind of walking around. There's really no true click It's a great intersection of guys of older, younger, from different places that really hang out and really, really like each other at the end of the day.
It's weird, like I'm back in town, and there's a bunch of guys back in town from when I was playing.
Right.
Stevie, Marcus, Lee Evans, even Ron Brooks is in town. There's some other guys coming in town. But our locker room was set up. The receivers sat next to each other. The DB sat next to each other. So it kind of was a natural clicky type of thing.
Yeah.
Where now it seems like you guys are all integrated with
each
other.
Right, yeah. And I think it's intentional by Sean, too, to set it up like that.
The function of the team is the receiver's got to meet together. He's got to learn the same plays. And the DB's and vice for all that.
Right.
So you need a place where you can mix it up and have to almost be forced to interact with guys that you don't spend much time with during the day, even though you're on the same team and all that, their meetings, your workout times are different, all of that. And I used an analogy a week or two ago. It's a machine that has to be hitting on 53 cylinders, even the 63, the practice squad.
Mm-hmm.
All of those cylinders have to be hitting because everybody's trying to for the same thing. And even though 10 of them are practice squad players and 6 or 8 of them aren't going to be active on game day, you win games Monday through Saturday, right?
Yeah.
So what – give us – you guys have won 2 games. Tell us of the atmosphere Monday through Saturday here and why the culture is a difference.
For us, it's been business as usual. And like I said earlier, I mean, Sean has done a great job of bringing guy down, and the leadership has shown up. So you still have guys, you know, Jerry Hughes, Starr, Josh, Tremaine, guys that we count on have been here for a year or been in the league a long time, Frank being another big one that comes to mind, that are keeping the same routine. They haven't changed or let up. There's no difference. I now have to take notes because we're 2-0.
Right.
So that mindset is there from the player leadership, and Sean has talked about it. And so guys have to fall in line with that because you have your leaders doing it as well as the head coach. And so it's been great. It's good to be around here. Guys are still competing, trying to get better, and that's what we have to have on this team if we want to continue to grow and go where we want to at the end of the day.
Donald Jones, can I borrow your microphone?
Yeah.
Since you left a year and a half ago, you left. We also lost you and lost a bunch of good microphones too. Same day.
No. It sounded like that's what I thought.
You were doing a podcast though. What about that podcast? Yeah. Oh, you need a microphone.
Ruben Brown and I were doing one down in New York. No, I'm actually doing one with Stevie Johnson. Oh, wow. Yeah. So we just it's
why so serious?
Why so serious? Yeah. He's on the West Coast in San Diego. And I'm in New Jersey, so we do it over Zoom. So it's pretty cool.
Can I borrow this again?
You can borrow it. What brings you here this weekend? What's the plan this weekend for you?
So tonight, we have to do a party at Soho.
You have to?
Well, yeah, we have to.
Okay.
Yeah, we're contractually obligated to do this party at Soho. And then I'll be at the game on Sunday. I'm doing some autograph stuff. Stevie and I actually, we've been talking about doing something together, some 7-on-7 stuff, some wide receiver training type of stuff. So we're going to check out a facility. I don't even know where we're going. It's like 3 different facilities we have to go to see which one is the best, you know. So, you know, just back in town having fun. It's good to see some of the guys.
Our producer, Jay Harris, will show me clips sometimes. You send him clips of your son, your oldest son. What's his name?
Kyan.
Yeah. He's tearing it up in the youth football. How old is he, 8 or 9?
9.
You're tearing it up in football, right?
Yeah, he's 9. He's good, you know, and that's not just like from dad saying that my son is good. Like, this kid is like naturally gifted athlete. It's amazing to watch him do some of the things that he does. And he's last week he had 3 touchdowns. The week before that he had 2. The week before that he had 2. So he's having fun out there. He's playing AAU basketball. So that's a lot. We travel state to state with AAU basketball.
I was going to ask you, how many sports does he play in? You got to be a big fan of that. You got to.
Oh, I love it. Yeah, I love being there.
I mean, it's tough being a taxi driver, but still,
it is tough being a taxi driver.
Career, right?
You know, he's playing baseball, football, basketball. He ran a little track as well, so he loves basketball and football, but he's trying everything out. You know, just
I'm
to
a
see
big
what he
fan
likes
of having him play a bunch of sports, man.
Man, I think nowadays you have so much with the AAU basketball and AAU baseball.
AAU basketball,
even with football now. I mean, back home, they're trying to recruit him. There are certain programs throughout the state, and they're trying to recruit him. And they go all – he's in fourth grade.
Fourth, yeah.
And they travel state to state playing football, and they're trying to recruit him. And it's like an all-year-round type of thing. I don't like
so
it.
So how have you handled that as far as – because that can go to a kid's head sometimes, especially when it starts that young, because I have a cousin that's kind of in a similar arena. What have you done to kind of set up some safeguards for him?
Well, I coach.
Okay.
So I'm out there. I'm the one that if somebody comes up, I'm the one that's talking. I make sure nothing is really said around him.
Yeah.
You know, I let him know, like, yo, you good, you talented, but We got to work. We got to work every day. And this year is really the first year that I've actually worked with him. It's always just been natural talent. You go out there, you play, you have fun. Mm-hmm. This year, he's like, Dad, come on, I want to work on some things.
Right.
He's playing quarterback, so we really had to work. He was just playing running back and wide receiver before. Yeah. But now with quarterback, they're running the option. I had to really work with him.
Okay.
So it's been fun, man. And I just make sure that I'm the one that's around. If anybody says anything, I'm the one they're talking to and not him directly.
Yeah, it's good. You got to play safe. But that AAU basketball, that's almost like hockey, Murph, where it's a cult, right? I mean, it's like a subculture that you get into that world, and it's like, man, you can go there and never come out until you're ready for the NBA. Crazy.
We went to a tournament they played in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, and it was a two-day tournament. And the facility where the tournament was held, it was like 30 courts. It was three buildings all put together and a hotel connected to it.
Oh, my God.
And they had soccer fields out there. They had baseball. I mean, this place was huge. And every court was full. It was girls and boys, all ages, thousands of people in there. And, you know, it costs for each team to get in, but they also charged us $30 a head as parents to come and watch a kid. It's like, you guys are just raking it in.
$30?
$30 a head to get in this place and find the park?
Right.
Are you serious right now?
We should be using this building right here, Murph.
And then we had to stay. So we had to stay in the hotel as well. Like, killing it, you know? This place would be great to have.
Hey, you know what?
Like
good luck with him, man. That's good. Yeah, and I know that, too. You got to sit on him, make sure he keeps his head on his shoulders. And that's as hard a part thing as anything in the culture we live in. But good luck. Congratulations, too.
When you left this year and a half ago, you had a couple of different business ventures, including cupcakes and hats and stuff. What are you doing these days for business?
Well, I've always had the hat company. It's been about 6 years I've had that now. My cousin actually has the banana pudding company. That's his thing. I was banana pudding. And I was helping him out with that.
Did you bring any?
No, I didn't.
I mean, I didn't even know you had a hat. Do you have a hat, Steve?
Murph is a member. Do
you have a hat? I didn't know you. I don't even have a hat.
I got a pudding.
You wear hats?
I gave you a hat on this show.
Well, yeah, I'm not talking about like, I'm talking like.
Right.
Yeah, you see his face right now?
I'm just, woo!
I want to talk when we get out of here then. We can do that.
Man.
Yeah, actually, so the hat company.
And I'll buy it.
I'll tell you what,
we've
all become full fledged members of the media because we all got our hands out right now.
I don't want a free hat. I want to support you.
We all got our hands out.
All right, well,
I didn't know you had a company.
We'll talk when we get out of here then. Yeah, the hat company is called Brims Abroad, and we do all hats. So, like your Kangols, all of those types of hats, fedoras, that type of stuff. We don't really do the baseball caps.
You got designers on staff, or is it you? Who designs them?
We basically subcontract with the big designer companies, we just basically house the hats and sell them.
Yeah, it's funny because my son,
like the Walmart of
one
hats.
Of my youngest interned with New Era, and he was in their design department.
We don't make the hats.
You have real designers and stuff like that.
We have real designer companies.
Cool business, Murph. You should think about it.
And then, I have some real estate now, which is cool. And then I have a trucking company. So
a what?
Trucking.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah, so I own 318 wheelers, and so it's been that's a busy company. Oh, yeah,
you wouldn't happen to have any microphone company, would you? That could help. We gotta take a break.
I'm gonna check and make sure I didn't take
one. Yeah, just accident. No, we gotta figure out which of these six microphones works if we're gonna finish the show. Donald, it is great to get you back out here, and you're gonna be in town for the weekend, right? People will see you around at the game, and you're signing autographs at the game. And where are you going tonight?
Soho
tonight. Okay. Yeah.
And Lorenzo, by the way, I know you got.
I called Lorenzo, but he didn't want to.
No tickets?
Yeah, yeah. By the way, Lorenzo,
sold out.
You got something going on this weekend, too. Good luck with that.
The game, I'll be there Sunday.
Yeah.
I was like, man, do I have something going on? Or something else? I'm always doing something.
Yeah, it was a good thing.
I am taking my daughter out on date night tonight, though, so I do have something. Right,
Where are you going? Stay away from.
I don't want to,
Stay away from Soho.
We'll be in East Aurora. Like some Texas nice restaurants town. Over there. Is that where you're at?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, so I just got to drop your name.
Just look for the White House. That's
okay. All right.
that's me.
Lorenzo, thank you. Good luck,
Sunday.
Yeah,
I appreciate
it. Great to
see
you.
Thanks, guys. Great seeing you guys, man.
Got a break coming up. We're back in a moment. Maddie Glab talks with Andy Major about a lot of stuff, bus lot, et cetera, for this Sunday's game. That's coming up next. One Bills Live, presented by Kalata Health from the Seneca Studio. This is Buffalo Bills Radio. Coming down the home stretch here, One Bills Live, John Murphy, Steve Tasker. Order has been restored thanks to Donald and Lorenzo. It was great having Donald back here. Microphone seemed to work. Give us a mic check, Steve.
Check, one, two. Hey, yeah, there we go.
Microphone seemed to work.
We were trading mics all through that last segment with Lorenzo and Donald.
Ugly.
State of the art, baby.
Hey, game Sunday, right? Home opener. And some changes in the guest experience. Maddie Glab, PSE reporter, covers the Bills and the Sabres for Pagula Sports and Entertainment. Had a chance to talk with the Bills Vice President of Guest Experience, Andy Major. Here they go.
Thanks, guys. So, Andy, there's several new policies for the first home opener this season, several new things going on when it comes to fan experience. So I want to ask you a couple questions about that. We also have a couple Twitter questions as well. So first of all, the new Tailgate Village, there's some new policies. So what do fans need to know who are bringing buses, limo buses, things like that ahead of kickoff on Sunday?
Yeah, the main thing for Tailgate Village and the bus and limo lot is for fans to make sure they purchase those parking permits in advance. And purchase those through Tailgate Guys, which is tailgateguys.com, and they'll take care of them. It's either a bus, a limo. Is the bus tailgating? Is it not tailgating? And then the fans that are tailgating will have access to Tailgate Village. And Tailgate Village will have all kinds of fun stuff. You know, we'll have Billy Buffalo in there. We'll have the Bills Stampede, the drum corps. We'll have live music with a live DJ. And the package includes a table, chairs, tent. And then the fans bring their own tailgating items, or they can opt to cater it as well. So lots of options for fans. And again, this whole program is to enhance a fan experience and make sure it's a safe experience for fans as well.
Yeah, safety and security is super important on Sunday. We want to make sure fans are safe but also having a great time. So when it comes to fan behavior, what should fans look out for?
Each other. I mean, we've got the greatest fans, right? There are a few that make it rough on game day, and that's why we have some of the changes over the years with policies. We evolve, and so do the fans. But the fans are great. We've got the most passionate, loyal fan base, and this is nothing more than an effort to improve the fan experience, make it safer. But fans, we ask them, you know, if they see something, say something. You know, if you see something happening that's dangerous or unsafe, or you know, fan behavior related, or someone's getting sick because they've drank too much, we want to know. We want to help, and we want to make sure the rest of the fans in those areas they're taken care of.
Fan experience, entertainment is also very important. We want the fans to have a great time and have a great experience paying for tickets coming to Sunday's game, which will be very exciting. What are some new entertainment things going on this season?
Well, I mean, the great news is we've got such great support from our ownership group, from Kim and Terry Pagula, and we are 100% committed to the fans. We're really focused on the fan experience. You know, we want fans to be engaged with all the different activities, to be a part of the fan activations that we have. We've got the Boulevard on Abbott Road. We've got the Fan Zone at the AdPro Sports Fieldhouse. In the training center, we've got the Labatt Scoreboard Square, which is kind of a new area inside the stadium, underneath the scoreboard. And then we also have the Miller Lite Brew Pub, so also inside the stadium. So a couple things outside the stadium, one inside the field house outside the stadium, and then two elements of fan experience activities inside the stadium with lots of fun things to do. Complimentary photos, fan activations, a live band with the Believers in Labatt Scoreboard Square. And then Abbott Road is closed on game day, and that's a huge fan activation area that fans really seem to enjoy. So lots of options.
Yeah. Now, ahead of the home opener, there's some pretty exciting, unique, very special things going on before kickoff. One of those being recognizing Pancho Villa's family, of course, a flyover as well. What are some of the headlining events for the home opener?
Well, we're obviously super excited about the home opener. We're undefeated. The weather looks tremendous. But it is. This is all about the fans, right? This is our hometown team. We're coming home. We're undefeated. We're playing the Bengals. We're going to honor Pancho Villa, one of our greatest all-time fans, and honor his memory, honor his family, and recognize his family on game day. And he's part of that fan base that represents the Bills, right? So this will be a great opportunity for us to really engage with the fans and recognize the fans in this manner and honor him. But there's also other activities going on. We've got the game day, obviously the game itself, but the flyover pregame. We always have a great national anthem presentation. You know, we've got some fun things lined up for halftime as well. So, again, just trying to enhance that fan experience. Make it fun. Give the fans a reason to come in early.
Yeah.
And not have to wait on the lines at the gates. So we certainly encourage fans to come inside, see all the fun stuff pregame, and be a part of that. And then also be ready to cheer your team onto that field, because we're going to have 70,000 plus screaming fans in a sold out venue at New Era Field. And we want them to be there too. And the players want them to be there too.
Heck yeah.
So we've heard the players tweet some things this week and share their, you know, excitement about game day. And we're with them. We're all with them with this. So we're excited.
Fan presence can definitely make a difference. Shaq Lawson told me last night on third down, we need the fan base to be loud because they can make such an impact when it comes to the noise. There's a couple Twitter questions that we had. So if you tweeted in, thank you for tweeting in with questions. One of those has to do with getting to the stadium early. Joe says, it's more of a comment, but you can add on to this. He said, I can't stress enough for how important it is for people to not wait until 10 minutes prior to kickoff to come into the stadium. It backs up the lines. It's tough to get through security. Thousands of people do this every weekend, and that's why some people get into the game late. So why is it important to get to those gates early and to spread out going to different gates?
Yeah, well, we appreciate that tweet by Joe. I will tell you, you know, fans know what to expect. I mean, we say all the time, the gates open 90 minutes before kickoff. And we do get a good number of fans that come in early and avoid all the lines altogether. Even if you got to the gates at, say, 12 noon, an hour before kickoff, you're probably walking right in. You know, you start talking about 12:15, 12:30, quarter to 1 for a 1 p.m. kickoff. Fans are probably, some of them are going to miss kickoff. You know, we know fans are tailgating and having a great time. We encourage responsible tailgating. We love our fans. But if they want to see all the fun stuff pregame and not miss kickoff, they definitely want to get in there 12 o'clock, 12:15, and not, you know, get online, get in, and not have a problem.
And there's that firework that goes off an hour before kickoff to let fans know.
Yeah, that's
fun. Let's wrap
it
up. Let's get into the stadium.
Yeah, so our in-game entertainment team with Mike and Jeff, I mean, we've got a big train horn noise going on along with the fireworks to kind of give everybody that 1 hour warning, so to speak, that hey, kickoff is coming soon. Start coming on in and get ready to cheer on the Bills.
One more question. This one's from Jack. He says he usually sits in the upper deck, and in the tower bathrooms there's speakers, but they don't happen to play the broadcast. He says on the lower levels they do play the broadcast in the bathrooms. Is there any reason for that, or if it could be changed?
You know what? No, not that I know of. Awesome. I'll have to look into that one. That's a great question. I hadn't heard that. But we'll get with our stadium ops team, our broadcast team, and see if there's something we can do for an adjustment there.
Perfect.
Yeah, thanks for that info.
Yeah.
Did not know that one.
Yeah. Andy, thank you for your time. We appreciate it. We're looking forward to seeing the stadium packed on Sunday. Guys, back to you.
Go Bills.
Here you go. Matty Glab with Andy Major. We got more to come. Come on back with us. One Bills Live presented by Collada Health. And this is Buffalo Bills Radio. Hey, Matty Glab just talked to Andy Major about everything going on here on Sunday. The Bills also have the Bills Foundation 50-50 raffle on Sunday with a guaranteed minimum jackpot of $160,000. Special ticket pricing, you can get 100 tickets for $20. You can buy them from mobile sellers in the parking lots, clubs, and concourses, and at any of the 10 kiosks located throughout the stadium. U.S. cash only accepted. That's coming up on Sunday as well. The big thing, of course, is the game. I got the Bills winning and winning big, even though I've told you to take it easy and be cautious. So I got 31-20 Buffalo on top Sunday.
Yeah, I got 28-13.
They're going to put some points up on these guys.
I think so, too. And I think Cincinnati's going to struggle. They're not going to run the ball on these guys. And I think our secondary is better than any of the ones they've faced so far. So I agree with you.
Have fun at the game if you're coming Sunday. If not, listen to it with us 1 o'clock. Production assistance today from George Blass, Jeff Koltnick, Thomas Hollander, Kelly Rude, J.J. Torito, Kevin Cargis, James Roble, our producer, Jay Harris. We got you next Monday at 12 noon. One Bills Live presented by Collida Health from the Seneca Studio at One Bills Drive. And this is Buffalo Bills Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.